American Journal. We're excited you guys are joining us today. All right, getting ready to kick off the third hour of the show. Let's go back to Pam Bondi, who's speaking right now in front of the Judiciary House Committee right now. A lot happening there. Let's listen in.
Over here. The time is yours.
Thank you. First, he brought up the president saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump? Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history. And none of them ask Merrick Garland over the last 4 years one word about Jeffrey Epstein. How ironic is that? You know why? Because Donald Trump, the Dow right now is over, the Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas. Ms. Bondi, the Attorney General can respond.
Thank you. The Dow has shattered 50,000 for the first time. This is crazy. They said it couldn't be done in 4 years, yet President Trump has done it in 1 year. National median rents have fallen to a four-year low thanks to Donald Trump. That's why they want to focus on Epstein and our most transparent president in the nation's history. The murder rate, as I said, has plummeted to a 125-year low, thanks to Donald Trump. For an unprecedented 9 straight months, there were 0 illegal border crossings at the southern border. That's what we should be focused on. All the great work that this president has done and will continue to do to keep America safe and to make Americans safe.
Thank you, Attorney General Bondi.
All
I agree
right,
with
so
you
that
totally.
Was Pam Bondi
I think you've
speaking.
Done a fine
We're gonna
job.
Continue to follow it. Obviously, there's a lot more that's going to be happening throughout all of this. Joseph McBride, he's a trial attorney and strategist. He will be joining us to discuss all of this and react to all things related to Pam Bondi. So we look forward to having him on in just a little bit. He'll be joining us in about 25 minutes. We'll be going through more of this hearing, obviously, continuing to cover it, because I'm sure there's going to be more of a pushback between both Democrats and Bondi. And I'm hoping some conservatives jump in on this one, because I got a lot of questions for the AG. And unfortunately, she only does hits on Fox News and won't talk to anyone else. So now is their time to get some tough questions thrown her way. And I'm not even mad about the Epstein questions that Dems are throwing her way, because I think it's fair to require her to answer just that. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just 1 minute. We'll be right back.
gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, third hour of the program. A lot going on over here that we're keeping our eye on. You know, we've been diving in and out of the Pambani hearing that's going on right now in the Judiciary Committee, that's the House. Right now, specifically, Bonnie's being grilled by Dems about Epstein. We'll bring you back to that in just a little bit. Also joining us in this hour, Joseph McBride, who is a trial attorney and also a political strategist. He will be joining us to react to Bonnie, plus other things that are taking place all around the country, specifically too. A federal grand jury's refusal to indict six Democratic lawmakers who appeared in that video. Remember that video where they were trying to tell U.S. military personnel and the intelligence community, to not abide by certain rules, to defy what they deemed as illegal orders? Well, a grand jury in D.C. has refused to indict a lot of these individuals, obviously Mark Kelly being one of those individuals as well. So we're learning more about that as it continues to develop. I have a feeling that the DOJ is not going to let up on that one, because that was one that got them really, really fired up. And so we'll keep our eye on that. We're also keeping our eye on something that I think is big news. And I love Florida, The one major issue I had with the state of Florida was that there were so many New Yorkers coming in. I had actually left. I got there first. I was one of the OG New Yorkers who abandoned New York and went to Florida. And then once it became like another borough of New York City, I was like, I gotta get out of here. But it's getting really, really bad. How bad do you think it's getting? Well, let me explain. Mark Zuckerberg is leaving California, according to reports, and he is moving on in to Florida right now. According to reports, him and his wife have ditched their California lifestyles, and they are trying their very best now to be Florida residents. They bought a home. I don't know. There's some reports that it's like $100 million to $200 million, this home that they purchased in Miami. Must be nice. You lose me after a couple of zeros. But they are apparently now looking to ditch it to live there full time. Now, here's the thing. The reason why, apparently there's a new pitch for billionaires in California to receive a new tax. And I think a lot of people are just fed up with it. I mean, how many times are you going to tax these people? They employ a bunch of employees, and now they got to sit here and pay a bunch of taxes. And then now there's a new tax for the other taxes. It's about a 5% one-time tax they're looking and they're pitching in California to, I guess, force billionaires to pay. I mean, again, it's never enough for them. They just continue to pull money from those who are wealthy. And I don't want to be in this position to defend Mark Zuckerberg because I think he's actually a horrible person. But at some point, we got to say enough is enough. And the taxes are just out of control. But most importantly, folks, it's resulting in people like Mark Zuckerberg fleeing and coming here. And I don't like it. Well, coming to Florida, I guess you'd say. And I don't like it at all. We should be able to force these people not to relocate. Florida should just be its own country at this point. We should be asking people for their voter ID cards when they flood into Florida. Specifically, though, only take registered Republicans, conservatives, and independents. Everything else, sorry, you gotta go. Florida is like a safe, beautiful place. The cost of living has skyrocketed, which is really upsetting, but it is still one of my favorite places in this country. And it's sad that all these people are infiltrating. Again, I'm not looking forward to that. Let's go back to the House Judiciary Committee right now with Pambani. It looks like there might be a little bit of a pushback. Jim Jordan just stepped in. Let's take a listen.
State and local police in Minnesota got a court order to get access to the crime scene to be sure evidence would be properly preserved by federal agents. But they took the agents defied the court order, and in a departure from general policy, the DOJ is not collaborating with state and local law enforcement on these homicides. So I really think that is a disgraceful approach to the homicides of American citizens, and really does nothing to bring credit to your department. And, Mr. Chairman, I would yield back.
Gentlelady yields back.
May I answer?
Attorney General can respond.
I find it interesting that she keeps going after President Trump, the greatest president in American history. And if they could maintain their composure, this isn't a circus. This is a hearing. I find it interesting she keeps going after Donald Trump. She doesn't say how much money she took from Reid Hoffman, did you?
None.
And nor did
Mr. Chairman,
she post
regular
anything.
Order, please.
She
regular
posted
order.
Nothing on her X account, on her Twitter account. Yeah. During the Biden years.
Gentle lady.
Yet now, all of a sudden,
no question
she's
asked.
Going after
the will be in order.
Order. There was no question
will be
on
order.
The Attorney General. She doesn't just get to
middle.
Speak.
Committee will be in order.
I have a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Committee will be in order.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Gentle lady can state her point of order.
When a witness attacks.
Not a valid point of order. You got to state.
She hasn't completed her point of order yet. Please let her speak, Mr. Chairman. Let's have some regular order here.
Regular order is you got to state the rule. And
I am trying to make a point of order that the witness.
And what rule are you referring to?
Without responding to a question has attacked me personally. I think it's pathetic that she can't answer the questions and instead is attacking members of the committee.
That is not even close to a point of order. The gentleman from Wisconsin is recognized.
In August of last year, I sent a letter to the Department of Justice asking for assistance and seeking compensation for the town of Lac du Flambeau. Town of Lac du Flambeau is in my district, and your office replied that it was an ongoing matter and unable to comment on it, which I understand is just fine. I want to set this up just as a reminder. So 3 years ago, it was at this time of year that four roads were blockaded in the town of Lac du Flambeau, and the temperature was 25 below zero. People had to park their cars at a neighbor's place, take the snowmobile across the lake to get their car, and then be able to drive into town. There were people 80 and 90 years old that could not, were very concerned that they'd be able to get emergency medical services. And the perpetrators of this, the tribe out there, they demanded compensation from the town. I would call it extortion. They ultimately got $600,000 from the town of Lac du Flambeau. The unfortunate part, Mr. Chairman, is that the Biden administration took the side of the perpetrators who closed those roads off, and the Biden administration made it clear to the town of Lac du Flambeau that we are not on your side in regards to this. Well, fortunately, there was a federal judge that said, no, this is wrong, what happened? And these roads should be left open. They should continue to be left open. My question to you is, are you willing to work with my office and with the town of Lac du Flambeau to further investigate this matter and seek compensation from the tribal government after their extortion of $600,000 from this little town in northern Wisconsin?
Congressman, you do a great job representing your district. And yes, we would more than welcome working with you, and we are familiar with that investigation.
Mr. Chairman, I would just add, we're highlighting these miscarriages of justice in the previous administration. This is just another one of those small examples, no different than the Catholic Diocese in Richmond and many others that you have retold so many times. But here's another instance of what they did to a small town and nearly bankrupted them as a result of it. Fortunately, there was a federal judge that saw through it and has fixed it. I want to move on to fraud enforcement. You've established a National Fraud Enforcement Division. Is that correct, Madam Attorney General?
Yes, Congressman.
Has this new division begun any investigations and getting after those individuals that have committed the rampant fraud we've seen like in Minnesota?
Well, it's not only rampant in Minnesota, it's rampant throughout this country. Much of it is in California, as you know, and other places. Yes, we are working on it actively. Our criminal fraud division has been working on it. We are expanding that. It was the vice president's idea to come up with this amazing
separate. Okay, I want to step in on this for a second because this is stuff that we're all very familiar with so far. Again, we're going to be dipping in and out of this. Joseph McBride joining me in about 15 minutes to break down what we've seen so far at this hearing. But again, folks, I kind of knew this was going to be a little heated. Pam Bondi doing a fair job of defending herself and also defending the president. So that is also good to see as well. Folks, I want to dive into a story that kind of piggybacks off the Zuckerberg story that we were talking about just a few moments ago. Meta, obviously, that's the company that he runs still to this day. There's a lot of issues with Meta itself, mainly on how sexual predators, child predators have utilized Meta as a platform to make it their own grooming paradise at this point is the best way to describe it. And the worst part about this, and this is why it's so important for parents to pay attention to what their kids are doing online. I was just reading another Discord story, sadly, about a young girl, and this is a little separate, but a young girl who was found dead sadly, it was the results of her meeting a man in a Discord chat. Again, like, these things are absolutely horrific, but the importance of parents at home right now to pay attention to what your child is doing online, it needs to be a top priority in every household. And as we learn more, so there's a lawsuit going on right now between Meta and the state, the Attorney General of New Mexico right now. And ultimately, it came to the forefront that a senior Meta researcher did, in fact, warn the company executives back in June of 2020 that, this is based on an internal email, that approximately 500,000 children per day in English-speaking markets alone were being targeted with sexually inappropriate messages by predators, creeps, on Instagram and Facebook. And this was described in that email. And they were trying their very best to warn, obviously, top executives that this was a major, major issue. These details come from internal documents unsealed just before, obviously, a major jury trial, like I explained to you, in New Mexico. Meta is what it's being accused of, failing to protect children from sexual exploitation, sextortion, human trafficking, and mental health harms as well. Now, again, the details just that and how they were warned. They're claiming, of course, that they didn't do enough. I don't know how you police such a massive, massive platform. I get it. I understand maybe putting in tips if children interact, and this should be 100% the case. If children flag something for you as a predator is coming after them, this should go to a special department that investigates these things and quickly nukes all those accounts. That I totally am on board for. But it's really tough, I have to say, from their perspective, to kind of police their platform. I mean, if you're talking about 500,000 kids each day are being targeted right now from creeps, predators online on both platforms, Facebook and Instagram, I don't know how you combat that. I truly don't. Again, we don't want to push towards a mass surveillance, but I mean, we have Alex Rosen on the show all the time who talks about this on all of these platforms. I don't know what other advice I'd have for these platforms. I don't think children belong on these platforms. And so, yeah, I think it's absolutely devastating. I don't know how you combat it without having to do something invasive to your own personal privacy, whether it's the biometrics grab, but we also see that Discord is now going to lean in on. But I don't encourage it, obviously. I strongly am against that. But it's just really disturbing. It really is. 500,000 kids per day are being targeted on just Instagram and Facebook alone. That's according to their own employee. Let's shift gears a little bit, too. This one's, it's so sad, but renters, and I've never seen this before, and this is the first time I've ever seen this, but you all, you know, when you're buying stuff online, they float the idea of maybe you want to buy this now and pay for it later. Well, obviously, what this is doing is normalizing Americans to rack up a ton of debt. We know President Trump is floating the idea of reducing the amount of interest that Americans can pay in credit card debt. I believe he's floating the idea of 10% for the first year, which sounds fair. You know, these card companies do need to make money. Obviously, we don't want to sit here and inject too much. But the reality is, I mean, they're talking like a lot of these cards are pushing north of like 20 to 30% interest rates. It's insane. But this story has me very concerned. Renters are increasingly turning to rent now and pay later services. There's several of them. Affirm is one of them. Flex is another one that I've heard of. Now, they're doing this to split their monthly rent into smaller installments, allowing companies to pay these landlords up front while tenants repay over time, which helps them manage their cash flow. Gosh, it sounds horrible. Amid the rising cost of rent. Now, the article itself is floating the idea of there could be up to 28% interest paid out in 5 years. Again, the services charge fees. Like Flex will pay, will charge about, I think it's like $33. Now, the problem with this is if you actually miss a payment, you're totally screwed. The interest rate skyrockets. Obviously, for someone who's maybe short-term going through some financial issues, okay, I understand it, but this cannot be the new norm. So you're making installments on your rent. Folks, if we normalize this, we're in trouble as a country. We're already in trouble as a country. I mean, home ownership is a dream. It used to be the American dream, but at this point, it's just the dream for so many Americans. Between that, the student loan debt that we've racked up as a country by allowing our federal government to get involved in the student loan crisis, which shows or has no accountability for the schools and universities, of course, they're off the hook. They get you to take, and I was so enraged, right? As somebody who was studying journalism, obviously, in school, when they had us taking like stupid classes, like I think I had to take I had to take a softball class. When there's no reason for it, right? It doesn't add anything to your major, but they make you take it. All these BS courses say, oh, you need this many credits to graduate. Why do we allow this? Why do we allow this? And again, I didn't even need a journalism degree to do what I'm doing, which is another issue, right? They sit there and they push you. I mean, I remember in high school, they jump you and they throw a voter registration form in your face. But most importantly, they push you. What college are you going to? What college are you going to? Not every American needs to go to college. I didn't need to. And unfortunately, I found out the hard way that I didn't need to. And it's crazy because, you know, now that I actually have my own company and I employ people, I always say, you know, if you don't have an educational background in this, you are actually at the top of the stack when it comes to resumes. Because I don't want somebody who went to like an NYU. The degree itself is worth nothing to me because it just means that you've been indoctrinated. That's all these journalism schools do these days. And again, I know I've told you guys stories about me getting into fights and to what I was forced, again, another one to take over at SUNY Old Westbury, a New York college. I was forced to take a women's history class. Now, as many of you know, I joke, but, you know, I found out the hard way that I was conservative. I really didn't know politically where I was standing on a lot of issues until I got into my first argument in women's history. And I don't even know how it came up. We were talking in class about reality TV and all these women were like, yeah, I love Love and Hip Hop. I love all these like brain rot shows. And I was just, you know, I raised my hand and I said something that was very controversial. I think I maybe got a C in that class. It wasn't one of my best class. Why? Well, because I said something like this, which really got our feminist professor fired up. I just like was like women who watch reality TV every day. I'm sorry. There's an element of your own life that you're not happy with, that you're looking for fulfillment with in someone else's life. And that's why you turn to reality TV, which isn't actual reality. And man, oh man, were those fire-breathing lesbians coming after me. They were screaming at me in that class. Screaming. And I didn't understand at the time. Now I do. Now I do. Because since then, you know, I would debate people then on BLM. That was obviously, yeah, this was all of them. A lot of the people in that class, too, were on the women's basketball team. So just imagine a bunch of butch lesbians coming after me for saying the logical response here. Like, we shouldn't be watching this much of reality TV. And you shouldn't be consuming it thinking that this is real life. This is why so many women end up divorced, filing for divorce, because you think your man's going to wake up every day and tell you how beautiful you are every second of the day. You just live in this fake society, in this fake world, and you think that this is the reality. This is what's going to happen for me. That's why so many women are upset with how life's turned out for them, mainly because of the fact that they've lived in this delusional world because they watch reality TV. So that's the reason why I'm in college today. I don't know how to say it. I mean, the reality of it is college is a cesspool. I actually at one point was protesting by not paying my student loans because I was like, why did they force me to do this? I didn't need this. But the American taxpayer shouldn't have to pay for it either. You know who should pay for it? That fire-breathing lesbian who was teaching my women's history class. She should have to cough up the expense of that ridiculous, ridiculous class I had to take over at SUNY Old Westbury. It was a dumpster of a college, too. I mean, it was just bad. They didn't teach me anything that I use nowadays. I actually learned more in community college, which I'm no surprise to a lot of you that I went to community college. My parents, because they refused to pay, forced me to community college. I joke. I say that lightly. My dad's probably watching right now. But the reality of it is the education system is an absolute cesspool. Those young people in their 20s and their 30s who can't afford homes, it's because they're making a massive payout on their student loan debt all the time. They are making all these massive payouts. A lot of them has shifted over to credit cards. You know, a lot of kids in college too, here's another thing too for you. They were told, oh, you know, because they were getting all these federal loans, that they could just take out an insane amount of money that wasn't even going towards their actual tuition costs. They were told, oh, this will go to your living costs. And they were cutting these massive checks. That's why the line outside of the student loan office, the federal agencies, I mean, they were just giving all this cash away to these kids. Now, I was not so privileged. I actually had to apply for scholarships. I had to become an RA, too. This is probably something I should hold off for a therapist. But I was an RA in college as well to pay off my expenses. It was my freshman year in college. Didn't go very well for me because everyone wanted to go after me because they didn't like the fact that I was an RA, especially freshman year. But nobody wanted the job, right? Because you're literally a buzzkill. So the moral of this story is just don't go to college. If you wanted to go to journal, if you wanted to do journalism, just go out there and do it. Pick up a camera, buy a mic on Amazon, and save yourself like 55, 60 grand in student loan debt. That's my best advice that I have for you guys. All right, let's turn to another story. This is a bit of a happier story. On clip 13, you're going to hear how the Louisville police were assisted in a three-year-old that apparently went missing. Now, the assistant in all of this is an individual. It's a four-legged individual who I could actually get behind. Listen to this story. It's a good one.
It is there.
It comes via police body cam footage from Louisville last month. A missing three-year-old child. More than a half dozen officers on the search. They sent up a helicopter, but had no luck until this happened.
Oh, what's up, dude?
There's a dog.
Where's he at? Let's go.
That's Officer Josh Thompson responding to a dog that seemed to have something important to say.
It led me all the way back to the backyard. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, this kid's in this backyard.
And sure enough,
the dog went right to the back bumper.
Check the rear here.
Goes to the back bumper, just sat there.
Yeah, he's right here.
After a quick lesson in car locks.
Grab and pull it.
I don't think I've ever seen a happier kid in my life. He jumped out of the car, bear hugged my neck, and wouldn't let go.
Good job, buddy.
The dog had cracked the case.
Blessing found him.
Man, I don't know where the dog came from, but it was a blessing from God that day.
And here's the thing about that dog. Officer Thompson says he'd been patrolling that neighborhood for 2 years and had never seen the dog before that moment, and he hasn't seen the dog since that day. And to this very day, the department still does not know who the dog belongs to.
Ah, that will pull up my heartstrings, man. What an incredible gift dogs are to us. I mean, we don't deserve them. But the simple fact that they're just so smart. They know, hey, you're looking for a missing kid? I found the kid. Come here. I wish we knew who that dog was. He deserves all the belly rubs in the world. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Why? Well, because, folks, we're doing this new sale. When you bundle certain elements or certain supplements right now over the shop, you get 50% off. I'm talking about the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle right now. And we're also talking about the Modern World Survival Stack. These come with three incredible supplements in each of these bundles, and you get them at a discounted rate when you buy them right now over the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. 50% off when you bundle.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't gonna serve dog shit to people. They're not gonna come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here today. Oh, we're getting ready to, keep watching what's going on right now over in the House Judiciary Committee hearing going on right now. Pam Bondi's been getting kind of into a screaming match with a couple of individuals. She also may have called Jerry Nadler washed up, which I could definitely appreciate. But we want to get to some of the more defining moments in clip 17. Obviously, folks, she's asked a lot by Dems about specifically Jeffrey Epstein. And here's how it went when it just recently happened.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information.
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland, sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General
twice.
Bondi.
No, can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you
a specific question that I would like you to answer,
which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions. The witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer. The Attorney General can
that's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer.
Time. So, Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she ask Merrick Garland this?
I'm reclaiming my time,
and when I will reclaim my time,
it is Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady has reclaimed her time.
I'm not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Chairman, will you restore her time? The
I'm
witness is interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time.
Doing theatrics.
Let me have my
the gentlelady,
time.
The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
Thank you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list,
Regular
only to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy, Todd Blanche, met alone with Ghislaine Maxwell
and transferred
her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
the
cover-up, and I wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you, and on a human level,
Chairman,
apologize
the chair now recognizes the chairman
what you have done.
The time of the gentlelady has expired.
All right, obviously things are getting very heated. So joining us to discuss is Joseph McBride. He's a trial attorney, strategist as well. And we're going to break down what's gone on so far over at this House Judiciary Committee. Obviously, Joseph, it's a pleasure to have you in the program, as always. But it's getting a little heated. It's because Democrats continue to bring up Epstein. And I don't like the fact that it's politically motivated. I truly want justice for these victims without the politics and all of this. But they do make several fair points. I mean, obviously, this has been an absolute mess for the DOJ in regards to the release of these documents. What have you seen so far at the hearing? What are some of the good that you've seen so far at the hearing and some of the bad? Give us your breakdown.
It's all bad. It's worthless. First off, these congressional hearings, the gentle lady takes her time back. I reclaim my time. It's a series of grandstanding. These Congress people get up there and they're looking for a gotcha question. You know, lawyers often ask yes or no questions on cross-examination to try to pin a witness down, to make them look bad, to impeach them for their prior inconsistent statements. One person is trying to bolt somebody else down to a yes or no question. The other one wants to get a meaningful answer. The other person takes their time back. It's all garbage. It's meaningless gobbledygook. Nobody cares. It's a colossal waste of time. They are accomplishing nothing with this hearing, nothing whatsoever. The fact that the congresswoman is pointing to the people in the back and saying that the victims are here. She's exploiting the victims. It's ridiculous. They don't talk about the fact that the vast majority of the people who ever went to Epstein Island, it's like some 90% of them were all Democrats. The whole thing is just garbage. It's nonsense. And then when you look at the current Department of Justice's job, look, they have not done a great job. I think Pam Bondi is defending herself well today. But having said all of that, they have not been transparent. They have not delivered on their promises to the American people in a timely manner. And when they have turned things over sloppily. They have turned things over haphazardly. And they're still redacting very important information. The American public wants accountability. They want it yesterday. And, you know, anything short of 100% transparency on the Epstein matter is just going to fall short of getting the job done, Brianna.
Yeah, well, McBride, this is the problem here, right? Because we were actually playing a clip earlier in the show of one of the members of Congress, a Democrat, who was listing the six men who their names were redacted under the original document dump. And now since, you know, Congressman Massey has gone back and asked these questions, they've unredacted these names. But here's my problem with all of this. Not every name that's being dropped in these Epstein files are men who are associated with sexually abusing children. And the problem is we see that the DOJ, which, and you could probably break down the legal side of all of this, the DOJ, according to the actual law itself, we're only supposed to redact the names of the actual victims, but we're seeing that there's an email that talks about potentially preventing very high up officials from having their names released in all of this and kind of going through, should we redact these names? There was that email. But most importantly, we see that these names of these men were redacted when they shouldn't have been redacted. And so the DOJ's issued these corrections. We saw that Todd Blanche said that there was a lot of legal reasons for some of this, even saying that the email address that he's redacting, you can't show the actual email addresses for legal reasons. But can you show like the first name of the person that that's being emailed? I mean, can you show us some of the email? Like, how does this work legally?
It all really depends. So when it comes to personal identifying information, social security number, passport number, licenses, email addresses, home addresses, the vast majority of the times these things are redacted because somebody can get doxxed. There's safety concerns. There's financial concerns. I think all that is pretty commonsensical. But when it comes into the actual names of people who were there, especially those who aren't implicated in any crimes, the question is, well, why are these people having their names redacted? I think the answer is pretty simple and straightforward. It's reputation warfare. It's reputation management. These people are calling. These people are pleading. These people are begging. They're saying, I don't want to be associated with this. And look, I don't blame them. But look, if you were involved with Epstein at any point and at any time, and if there are communications between you and him, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to bite the bullet on that one. A lot of bad things happen with this man. A lot of bad things happen in his network and on that island. And the need for the public to know the truth outweighs any personal private citizen's concern. And what we're seeing here is, you know, they're redacting these names up front to see if they can get this through good enough. The public is saying, no, it's not good enough. So now we're seeing an unraveling of the next layer. Hopefully we get the full truth and nothing but the truth. So help them God at the end of this. I don't know if that's going to happen, Brianna. The whole thing is ugly. It's a gigantic just shit show in there. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that anything good is going to come from it.
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to get any closer to the truth at this point. I think quite obvious that a lot of stuff has been either deleted or we're just never going to get to it. And so it's really frustrating to sit back and watch. But I was surprised to hear that a lot of the victims haven't yet spoken to the DOJ. That was clear during today's hearing that they asked them to stand up or to stay, you know, standing if they have not yet spoken to the DOJ. That's deeply, deeply concerning because also they'll claim that there's a
balance. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, kind of break it down for us because they say it's an ongoing investigation still to this day. I mean, how is that even possible?
The federal government doesn't care about you, doesn't care about me. It doesn't care about these people. It never has, and it never will. The federal government right now is interested in protecting the House. It's damage control season. It is how do we get through this with protecting the people who are important, the victims in these cases. You think about every whistleblower case, whether it's something related to cancer, a medical drug, 9/11, January 6th, whatever it is, the federal government does not care about you. It's not going to pay your rent. It's just going to take your taxes. And when you give it power, it's never going to relinquish power. It simply does not care. Their job is to protect the House, and that's why they had not spoken to these victims.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because, again, this should be a top priority. They claim that it is, but it's obviously not the case. I want to shift gears over because we just got more kind of discouraging news, but there was a grand jury recently that just rejected the DOJ's attempt to indict the group of Dems, the lawmakers specifically, who created that video trying to call for, you know, those who are currently serving not to follow what they deem as illegal orders. They tried their very best to do just that. It looks like an indictment was rejected, was declined, and they will not be charging so far these six Democratic lawmakers who decided to put out that video. Obviously, we talked about it extensively on this show. We know Mark Kelly is internally being penalized by the Pentagon. But what do you make of this? Because it seems like the DOJ can't land indictments.
I don't like it. I think this is a personnel problem. Look, President Trump is a great president. He loves this country. He loves America. Personnel is not a strong suit. The people who are choosing these battles and picking these fights simply don't know what the hell they're doing. First and foremost, the case is weak on its face. Let the internal processes from the Department of War, the Pentagon, whatever the relevant military branches are, deal with these people internally. The fact that they made a video that people don't like and they said some questionable stuff, on its face, it's just not actionable. Then you compound that with the fact that you're trying to get an indictment in Washington, D.C. Are you out of your friggin' mind? It is never going to happen. So in the end, you have what looks like a political attack on members of the United States government by the opposition party in power. They're coming off looking like Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. It looks ridiculous. It failed. It was never going to win. It should have never happened. Look, are there more reasons why we don't like this? Do we hate the fact that members of our government told, you know, members of the military resist and this and that? Sure. Is there some leeway? Is there tradition where people can do that in this country? Yes. Should people be indicted for it? I don't think so. And was there ever going to be an indictment in a Washington D.C. district court that was ever going to come to fruition, that was ever going to pass muster, that they were going to vote to indict these people? It was never going to happen. Never going to happen. You got to choose your battles and you got to choose your wars wisely. This is poorly planned, poorly thought out, poorly executed, and it blew up in everybody's face.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't realize that there was even an attempt to get a grand jury involved in that one. So that was quite confusing. But most importantly, too, I mean, I know the Mark Kelly stuff was going on, and he's also filed a civil lawsuit as well because he's not happy with how the Department of War kind of ruled in regards to his participation in this video. But we'll continue to follow it, too. I would say, yeah, probably the grand jury is a waste of our resources. But I want to get to this one as well, because this seems to be another loss for the DOJ. And this one actually comes at the hands of a Trump appointee. So I want to highlight just that. But obviously, the DOJ and Harmony Dillon, she's trying, I think, her very best to gain access to the voter rolls, to kind of sift through what's actually happening in a lot of states. And it's happening both in blue and red states that she's asking for this data. Well, sadly, a federal judge in Michigan has just dismissed the DOJ's lawsuit that sought to get the voter registration data from the states. This, again, is a Trump appointee who ruled that the existing federal voting laws do not mandate such disclosures. Now, this is not only Michigan. This is also Oregon and California, who've also ruled the same way in all of this. Do you think upon appeal that they might actually get a victory here? Or do you think this is also dead on arrival?
I think it's dead on arrival. Look, if this stuff unravels with the election stuff, all the previous rulings, all the previous the Supreme Court rulings, other federal court rulings, they're all going to unravel as well. Courts and institutionalized systems tend to protect the House. You're seeing it over and over and over again. I think Harmeet Dillon is great. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing a lot of great work over there where she's at. I think that she doesn't have the support system that she needs. Some of these appointments and some of these people that were hired were never given the budgets or were never given the people that they needed to make the meaningful impact across a wide variety of cases. And when you juxtapose that with the fact that you have hostile political actors sitting on the federal bench, it makes meaningfully litigating these cases very, very, very hard. Again, you have to choose your battles wisely. One battle to choose to fight the right way is the Epstein files. Another one is election interference. Sure, all this other stuff is nonsense. You got to choose your attack vectors wisely. You got to choose your points of attack wisely. You can't fight every battle. You can't win every war. And right now, they're losing all over the place. There are no points up on the board. And it's deeply concerning, especially going into the midterms and in the future, the 2028 election.
Yeah, well, we're keeping our eye on it. And we just had Wendy Mahoney on breaking down what's going on in Fulton County. And so, I mean, election integrity should be a top issue, but we're also not making the key reforms that we need to make. And like you said, by the way, a lot of key people not being properly funded in what we would hope would be more of a transformation period right now. I keep hearing that. I also keep hearing from folks at the DOJ that the resignation letters are starting to pile up. People are kind of getting their way out of there. And so that's really discouraging. A lot of key people who I hope stay in their positions, not really on board anymore. So it's kind of unfortunate, but you know, we've got things that we have to look forward to. And that one, it's kind of a weird pivot here, but that one is FISA. It's up for, obviously, its renewal in mid-April. And this is something that I'm extremely passionate about because I don't believe that FISA should be renewed if it allows the federal government to, without a warrant, spy on American citizens. And in clip 15, it's not me just feeling that way. It's also Senator Mike Lee. Take a listen.
That's why Congress has no business reauthorizing FISA 702, as it's being called upon to do in the coming months, without a warrant requirement applicable to inquiries involving U.S. citizens and other U.S. persons. The Fourth Amendment matters. And political warfare, lawfare, is bad. We shouldn't weaponize these things. And we should put in place protections to make sure that the Fourth Amendment's protections, fought for many centuries in this country, and that have a tradition that goes back centuries before we were even a country in England. These things matter. We have to make sure that they are not rendered dead letter. And I can tell you, we're heading dangerously in that direction now.
Yeah, it's obviously concerning. McBride, what's your take on all of this, obviously, because I don't hear anyone else besides Lee talking about making sure that they aren't targeting Americans without warrants. So what's your takeaway?
Look, Lee is right, first and foremost. Look, the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution protects American citizens against warrantless intrusion by the United States government. That is a bedrock fundamental principle of American life. Without the Fourth Amendment, we're all in very, very big trouble. FISA courts are something that came about after 9/11, the Patriot Act. There was a lot of fear in the American consciousness, and the American citizenry gave away power to the United States government to go after terrorists. What this subsection 702 does, which I think it expires, the sunset provision is April 20th of this year. What it does is it allows the United States government, agencies in the United States government, to look at foreign actors absent a warrant. So if you're a terrorist or a person of interest in another country, we can look at you without a warrant. Okay, look, there are national security concerns. That makes sense. But what often happens in these investigations is that the communications of American citizens, their emails, their paperwork, their financial records, whatever it is, they get caught up in this dragnet of warrantless intrusion into other people's lives. So it begs the question, what happens when the United States government agencies, law enforcement agencies, come into possession of American citizens' private information absent a warrant? At that point in time, they should apply for a warrant to use that information, or they should have to mandatorily discard that information and seal it off somewhere. There is no stop provision in this Section 702 that protects the American citizens' right to be free from the prying eyes of the government into their life absent a warrant. So what Mike Lee is saying is hey, listen, either let this expire or let's revise this process to give the American citizen protection, because if his or her information gets exposed in these warrantless intrusions, they should have a right to say, hey, government, you can't look into my life absent a warrant, because that's what the Constitution says. Unfortunately, Brianna, I stated this early on in the appearance, and I'll state it again and again and again. Once the American government grabs power, it never relinquishes power. So I don't believe that, that Mike Lee is going to win here. I hope that he wins, but I think that the industrial complex, the spying complex, the power complex, the intelligence complex in the United States government has a vested interest in the acquisition of power, and it does not care about the private American citizen's right to be free from warrantless intrusion. So I don't think that we're going to win. I do think that we're going to lose on this. I think that the federal government will continue to grow in power, and that FISA courts will continue to be routinely used to circumvent the constitutional protections that American citizens are afforded in order to intrude into private citizens' lives. And they work hand in glove with the big tech complex as well.
Yeah, that's a big problem here. And we all know of it. well, we all know too well about it. Quick question before we go, though. John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, who's going to likely be replaced by Ken Paxton very, very soon if all goes well, he had the guts to go out and say during a Senate confirmation hearing for Pam Bondi, this was about a year ago, that no American has actually been targeted through FISA. Is that the case?
That is not the case. That is a material lie.
Yeah.
That is absolutely ridiculous. I can tell you, based on my own work as an attorney, when FISA courts were used against foreign nationals and American citizens, that FISA courts are routinely used against American citizens. FISA courts are disgusting. Look, there's no adversarial process. It's a prosecutor in a dark room in D.C. somewhere with a judge pointing a finger at somebody, whether they're an American citizen or not, saying that this person has connection to foreign ties. Therefore, we should raid their house. We should raid their bank accounts. We should look into their life. And then later, if we get what we need, maybe we'll apply for a warrant. Maybe we won't. We won't. It is absolute nonsense for this man to state that it's never been used against an American citizen. It's an absolute abject lie.
Yeah, he referred to it as disinformation. That's when I knew that we had to replace him. And we're looking forward
to
doing
it. Yeah, he's
an idiot. Yeah, he is.
Moron.
But you know what, McBride, you're not an idiot. You're actually one of the most intelligent people I know. So Joseph McBride, thank you for joining us. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. He has some of the best takes. We obviously appreciate him coming on to join us today. So thank you for that. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye right now on AG Pam Bondi as she continues to testify in front of the Judiciary Committee. Now, I don't want to bore you to death with all the details because, well, Jerry Nadler was caught, again, falling asleep. Take a look at this video. Nadler, not really in the mood to be there. It's nap time for the Nadler. This is why term limits are so important. Most importantly, though, time to wake up, sir. What? Oh my gosh, these people are awful. I say it all the time. I'll say it again. Stop electing people we're smarter than. People like Jerry Nadler, brainless human being, absolutely worthless, has done nothing for New York City residents, of course, but he continues to get elected to his position and sits on some of the highest committee assignments and then uses it to fall asleep. Jerry Nadler, the man whose belly button holds up his pants every day, just taking a little nap during Pam Bondi's hearing today, because that's not important, right? Actually having to have discussions. That's probably actually why Pam Bondi flamed him earlier in the hearing as well, because, well, he's one of the many absolute losers that we have sitting in Congress, and we, the American people, could do significantly better. All right, folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off all supplements when you subscribe. Go over there right now. Make a purchase. It's Alex Jones's birthday, so make sure if you're on X, wish him a happy birthday. That does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is up next. Don't go anywhere.
See through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those yellowshowstore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So Key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us. on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexShowStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.